glad to see everybody out tonight. We're pleased and honored to have with us tonight Brother Jerry Hutcher, and he's going to teach on God's prosperity. We're teaching on that, right? No, what are you teaching on? Okay. I'll let him make up a title. So anyway, without any further ado, brother.
Not another. Never mind. I can do this myself. I need to. One is never enough. Good evening. We're just going to call this giving. And I'm just so excited that you heard that this was going to be on giving and you came anyway. So that's very impressive. I have a problem with a lot of Christian doctrines and the way that they're displayed. So I want to get a scripture out of the way first, because we're going to do this for about 4 weeks. You need better pulpits. Does anybody in this church work in wood? Oh, that's good. Very nice. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Or if you're Italian, it's Malachi. You ready? Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Who's that about? Jesus, right? It's a messianic promise. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. I thought he was just God-light, comfortable, easy to deal with, a nice, we've got a friend in Jesus. But he's like a refiner's fire, hot. And who he will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, and against those who swear falsely, and against those who oppress the wage earner in his wages, the widow and the orphan, and those who turn aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. For the days of your fathers, from the days of your fathers, you turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed. You shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Lord God, we come before you. You've gifted me with abilities to teach, but if the Holy Spirit is not here and present, none of this will matter. They won't remember. I won't even remember. We invite the presence of your Spirit. We ask that he would move through the midst of our gathering, that he would speak to each heart according to what we need to hear, and that we would be able to take it home with us. We'd be able to make it like the rubber meet in the road. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I like that scripture, and yet I don't like that scripture. And the reason I don't like that scripture is because anytime anybody talks about giving, that's the scripture. Now, I have a different approach to this, if I could say that. Giving is so much more than money. If all you're giving is money, you're not giving anything. Do you know what the, I heard a recent statistic, you're going to love this. The worldwide church, they did a statistic. I don't know how you would check the worldwide church, but through denominations, all kinds of different people, they calculated that the gross income of Christendom, those that said they were Christians, and you know what percentage they give? Anybody want to give a guess? 1.8%. And then you might think, well, there's a lot of third world countries, right? So those people didn't really have that much. So they took out the third world countries and the percentage went down. Scary, right? The people in the poor countries, they were given. It was the people here because we're so busy with stuff. We're going to do a lot of scripture here. So put your seatbelts on, take your phones and put them on stun, and you can look and see who's calling you that you're not going to talk to, and we'll go from there. Turn to Isaiah 35. I don't hear any pages rustling. Come on, rustle some pages. Thank you. What's that? It opened automatically there? They don't rustle anymore. Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Araba will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon will be seen. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Araba, and the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes, and a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You know, we don't take an offering in our church. We have baskets in the back. I don't think you should have to ask God's people to give. Eventually, during the course of these 4 weeks, we'll actually talk about tithing, and we'll talk about first fruits, and we'll talk about those things. But when you don't give, it's a symptom. It's not the problem. Money's not the... How many of you think God needs your money? No. See, they're trained now. They don't raise their hands anymore. They're afraid they'll be wrong. God doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't even need Rich to preach a mighty sermon so that you'll get saved. He doesn't need me to instruct you. But he's chosen for all of us to partake, to be part of his family. It's a really cool deal. If he needed us to do anything, he wouldn't be God. He just wouldn't be God. But somehow he's created something for himself, and then he's made a way we can actually become what he wants us to be. And apparently, in the wisdom of God, it was necessary that he leave us with free will. Free will plays in everything. You are the ransomed. You are the redeemed. Turn to Isaiah 43. What time do you usually go to, Rich? And I'll talk really fast. Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, And he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. What's redeemed mean? Bought back? Ladies, do you use coupons? Men don't use coupons. In fact, I have an experiment that I'm personally doing. I go to this substation 2 in Silva, and they gave me this card, and they stamp it 2 times for a large sub and once for a small one. 24 stamps I have to get. I told the guy I'd lose it. I don't do that. Well, I made a point. 2 more stamps, and I get a free sub. But I forewarned him never to give me one of those again, because I'm not going to do it. Redemption is when you have something and you pay for it, you get it back. But you've been redeemed. You were what? Doomed to death. Right? You were out of the realm of possibility that you would live. You were going down. Hi, my name's Jerry. I'm a recovering sinner. I've been sin-free for... Well, I just sinned. I was proud that I was redeemed. You're redeemed by God. He's got your card. He must have a big folder, and everyone's name is on it. The Lamb's Book of Life. Your name's in there. It's written in red. It's a very cool deal. What verse was I on? Joy, you have to watch. 1. I got as far as 1. Thank you. Then, that's why I bring her with me. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Not, you won't have to pass through the waters. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, not if you walk through the fire, when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. By the way, I'd just like to make a comment about the waters and the fire that you're going to pass through. There are a lot of Christians that believe that that means nothing bad will happen to you. Well, I will tell you that for 3.5 years, my daughter-in-law lived with us, along with her husband and 4 children, and she slowly died from an incurable disease. Of course, she lived 3 years longer than they said she would. And she walked with the Lord through it. And we walked through the water and we walked through the fire. The water didn't drown us and the fire didn't scorch us. Our hearts were broken, but so was the Father's heart. So just because God's going to sustain you doesn't mean that bad stuff's not going to happen to you. Because guess what? This isn't life. This will be the outskirts of heaven for those that walk with the Lord, and it's the outskirts of hell for those that don't. Don't get confused. The devil wants to mess you up. He wants to say the same thing to you that he said to Eve. Did God really say that? If God really said that, then how come this is happening? That one was free. Verse 4, since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring you your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory. Whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Turn to Isaiah 52. Anybody ever read Isaiah 52, or do you just read Isaiah 51? 53, rather. Isaiah 53 starts in Isaiah 51, and it ends in 54. You should read it all. There's a lot of stuff in there. Okay, Isaiah 52, 1 through 3. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck. O captive daughter of Zion, for thus says the Lord, you are sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. Galatians 3. I promise I'll actually talk to you. I'm not just going to quote scriptures, but we need some ground here. Galatians 3. Galatians 3 is a chapter that's usually quoted by Christians to get people to stop being legalistic. Okay, we're going to use it a little bit like that, but we're going to use it maybe a little differently than you've heard. You foolish Cherokeans, people of Swain and Jackson and Macon County, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law, see, at this time of night I can't really read, are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. That's a quote from Deuteronomy. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, but that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I read that because if I spoke for 4 weeks on giving and the tithes and offering in this church increased, but it came from a heart of legalism, I would be very unhappy. God doesn't need my help or Richard's help or any of the leaders here help to raise money. He doesn't need our legal obligations. Well, I go to church on Sunday because it's the Christian thing to do. Christianity is about relationship. It's about two relationships, which are really more than that. The first one is vertical, having a living relationship with the living God. And that one feeds and sustains and builds you. It's also a horizontal relationship, the other plane of the cross. And that's with brothers and sisters that you rub against. And sometimes they annoy you, which gives you opportunity to grow in the Lord and to pray for them and to act like a Christian. And those two relationships make us into who we are. Giving is just one of the many disciplines of the kingdom. It's just one of the things that comes from a base relationship with God and with the people He connects you with. We don't have to read these, but 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 7:23 says, they both say you were bought with a price. Now you need to recognize that you were redeemed. And all the scriptures that I've read up to this point all talk about giving. Giving occurred long before you came on scene. Okay? The reason you're here is because God gave. And an interesting study, maybe we'll talk about it sometime, is I think one of the best pictures of the Father and the Son occurs in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And that's the Jews call that the Akedah, and that is the sacrifice of Isaac, the giving of Isaac by Abraham. You got a guy that's, God promised he was going to give, nothing happened. The guy's 99 years old when he has a child. And God finally gives. Now he's got his son. And what does God say? Abraham, give. Now, if you talk to the Orthodox, they would tell you, the Orthodox Jews, they would tell you, Abraham didn't even think about it. He just got up and did it. Well, I have a problem with that. Because I believe even when God the Father gave, it was heart-wrenching. But we do know that in obedience, Abraham got up and he gave. How old was Isaac? Give me some numbers. All right, I mean, you guys all got books. You got a little book of little Isaac sitting on the donkey, right? He says 16. Anybody else? Any other guesses? 10? I believe Isaac was 33 years old. A lot of the rabbis say he was 40, but we have a 7-year discrepancy in the age of Christ, so I don't care how you do it. They base that on numbering based on when he was born and on the death of Sarah, which occurs in the next chapter. Abraham is 130 years old at this point, and Isaac's 33. Come on, Dad, you want to wrestle? The father gave the son. The son agreed to go. This is a picture of the Messiah, who, as much as he didn't want to go, Father, if this cup could pass from me, let it pass. He gave himself. No man took his life. Isaac, just like Abraham, agreed to be obedient to God, and he gave himself. So, giving started before any of us came on the scene. Turn to Romans 11, please. Have rubberized Bibles. Bring your Bibles next week. Bring noisy Bibles. Romans 11. I'm going to start in verse 17. Romans 9, 10, and 11 is a exposition on the Jewish people and their attitude, and they're falling away from God and their ultimate restoration. Verse 17, chapter 11. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive were grafted in among them, and became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. So much for eternal security, if you like that doctrine. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you'll be cut off. And they also, and this is my favorite verse, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And I am a personal testimony to that, because I'm back. I'm back. So therefore, for if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own tree? For I do not want you to be, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And you all want to be rooting for that, because Paul says their falling away was salvation to the world. And he says their restoration will be the resurrection from the dead. And if you're a fan of the resurrection of the dead, you ought to be rooting for Israel. Israel is God's timetable. What happens over there isn't happening over there. It's happening everywhere. And it has eternal value. If something happens in America, maybe it has eternal value and maybe it doesn't. But if it happens over there, it's on the calendar. It's on the radar. The Father's watching it. Okay? Now, I said that scripture there because I want you to understand that you've been grafted in. And since you've been grafted in, you need to recognize that you're now in the family of God. And the family of God does business a certain way. And it's always done business that certain way. It was built into the nature of the Jew to give. There's very little teaching in the New Testament on tithing. In fact, there's no teaching in the New Testament on tithing. And why would that be? No, it's not because we're not under the law. It's because they already were doing it. And by the way, regarding that not under the law, the Hebrew word translated with consistency in the New Testament, the underlying Hebrew word for law, does not mean law. That word is Torah, which we say is the five books of Moses. And well, it is. Because the five books of Moses is Torah. What's Torah? God's instruction. Torah means instruction. It means direction. And when you say we are not under Torah, you are wrong. Because God is still teaching and instructing. We are not under, and Paul very specifically says it in Romans 10. We'll read the first couple of verses. Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God is for them, for their salvation, the Jews. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. And you know what? There's a lot in the church that have a zeal for God, but they don't know what they're doing. Not according to knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Not understanding God's righteousness, we make rules and regulations for ourselves. Well, if you do this, then you'll be okay. Say these magic words. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, slip your hand up. God's interested in circumcised hearts. Your externals don't impress him. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law. Look at your Bible. Does it say that? Look at the verse. It says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. That is very different. That means that Christ is the end of the law for making you in right relationship with God. You don't need to take a bull and cut its throat and apply its blood. You don't need a blood sacrifice. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. Hallelujah! That blood sacrifice was only a temporary covering, the writer in Hebrews teaches us. But guess what? The law's not dead. You know who said the law would not pass away till all things are fulfilled? It's in red. If you got a red letter version, Jesus is the one that said the law wasn't going to pass away till all things are fulfilled. I know there are certain people who will tell you when he hung on the cross, he said, it's finished. Guess what? People are still dying. Paul tells us that the last enemy that will be crushed is death. As long as people are still dying, everything is not fulfilled. The Messiah has not returned for us. We are still here. We are ambassadors in a foreign land, and we are still under God's instruction. We are no longer under the obligation to do certain things to come into right standing. Hallelujah for that. That was done once and for all. That's what Paul says right there. Now you're part of the family business. Tithing does exist. Those that would tell you that a tithe is not a New Testament concept are cherry-picking the Scripture. They want to take all the other things that they like from the Old Testament. They just don't want to take that one. Don't play games with God. You do not want to become legalistic with God. He wrote the book. Okay? But once again, I don't get a salary. I come here, they write me checks. I tell them, don't write me checks. They write me checks anyway. It's okay. I have a job. And hallelujah for that. I'm not on staff here. I don't look to this congregation to support me. I'm not at staff in my congregation, my home church. I don't look for support there. Like Paul says, although I could ask for it, I go to different places. So when I'm talking about giving, it's not him because he wants a pay raise and he probably needs one. Okay? That's not why. Giving is a very important thing. And it's all about you. I want to tell you a little story. How many of you have ever been to Israel? Just me and you, babe. How many of you have ever looked at a map of Israel? Good. What river runs through the middle of Israel? The Jordan River. And what big lake does it go into? Sea of Galilee. These people need some studying. Okay, so we've got this Jordan River, which on the northern end of Israel is really a muddy stream. We know because we went in it in canoes. We saw a bunch of rabbis on the side smoking pot. It was a really interesting trip. It was. It was kind of funny. Hello, you want some? No. Okay. Anyway, so this muddy stream, and it picks up more water from Mount Hermon. The snows are melting in a different places. And we were there in June. In the winter, it's quite different. It rains a lot, and it's much more lush. But anyway, so this stream comes down, and it goes into the Sea of Galilee. You can't see across the Sea of Galilee. It's like a big body of water. And it's full of fish, and it's full of life. And it's a wonderful thing. And then the water goes out of the Jordan, and it goes down into another body of water. And it is called the Dead Sea. And in the Dead Sea, you could almost walk on it. That is one disgusting place. And if we go back, I would never want to go there again. The water is so full of minerals that you can't get under the water. But it's like you bob along on the top of it. Okay? It's disgusting. If the stuff gets in your eyes, they tell you. There's signs everywhere. There's natural water, you know, showers and stuff to wash off. You can't get it in your face. You know, people put the mud all over themselves. It's beautiful. I'm much nicer looking now that I was there and put mud on myself. They do. They sell it as beauty treatments. It's wonderful. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. It's the same water that feeds Galilee. Why do you think that is? Nothing flows out of it. Let me tell you. If you don't get this message, this is a real important message. I mean, the 4 weeks we're going to talk about this. And it has this much to do with money, and this much to do with how you will spend the rest of your life walking with God. Because most Christians are spiritually constipated. They go around, charismatics are the worst. Eat, 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 eat. Bless me, bless me. Let's go to a meeting. Hallelujah. I have the shakes. Wasn't that great? Did you hear that prophetic word? Yeah, what did it mean? I don't know. It was great. I memorized scripture. I don't know what any of it means, but I'm eating, eating, eating. And I'm never giving anything out. Spiritual constipation will kill you. You will be the walking dead. Now, I am a person that believes we are on the edge of the end times, and I'm also a person that believes we're not out of here. If that offends you, I'm sorry. We could talk about it doctrinally. That pre-trib rapture doctrine is paper thin, and it requires serious cherry picking in order to believe it. If you want to believe it, have a good time. But if you tell that doctrine to someone living in China, communist China, they'll laugh at you. Or in an Arab country. Because there are people dying for their faith right now. So, here we are, where God planted us. And we have got to prepare ourselves for whatever comes our way. Because you don't know. And giving is a a portion of our lives, a spiritual thing that occurs. Jesus gave himself. And when he didn't have any more to give, he went over and he sat down quietly and he received from the Father. The Father poured the water of the Holy Spirit in him and filled him back up so that he could go out and give more. Those are principles of the kingdom. Giving is something that has to become second nature to us. Turn to Philippians, the second chapter. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, that we could get more. Bless me, Father. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Don't do things for you, either physically, selfishness, or empty conceit, so you'll feel good, but with humility of mind, recognizing who you really are, that you were bought with a price. Let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. What a anti-American concept. Even our national holiday, Independence Day. It's all about me. And there's nice fireworks, but they're for me. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Can't you see the scene in heaven? Father's discussing with the Holy Spirit. We got a problem. Man fell. Father says, me and the Holy Spirit, we've solved the problem. Son, you're going in. The son goes, why do I have to go? Why can't you go, Father? Or send the Holy Spirit. He swooshes anyway. It'll be no problem for him. Philippians 2 is all about giving. Giving, giving, giving. Giving is a central component. Turn to Hebrews 6. Yes, I'll be done at 8:30. I promise. I am of the persuasion that all things in Christianity start with the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I will harp on this. On the top of that is the second layer, which is Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. I love the way Jewish people write. Okay? Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on in maturity, not laying again a foundation. And then he lays the foundation. This is the way we talk. And that's why, when you have two Jews, you have three opinions. And if there's three Jews, you have an actual war. How did we find my relatives in the condominium in Miami, hon? Remember? We just closed the door, stood in the parking lot, and listened. Oh, there it is. It's that way. Really, the problem is when there's too many Jews, you could get confused. Because they're all doing that. It's really true. It might sound like an argument to you, but it's not. So, not laying again the foundation of, first foundation, repentance from dead works. What are dead works? Huh? Dead works are anything that God hasn't breathed on. You were bought with a price. I think we'll go out and feed the multitude. Did God tell you to do that? Well, look, this guy's down and out. Let's give him $100. God spent 6 months getting him to the position where he might actually come to God and have his heart turned, and you're going to go bail him out because you didn't ask the Father. Dead works are things that are not breathed by God. Judaism is easy. You got 613 rules, which happens to be the number of letters in the Ten Commandments. 600, it's just a coincidence that it happened that way, I guess. 613, you can keep score. Christianity, what's the rules? 2, love God, love man. How's that play out? You're going to have to go back and ask Dad every day. Every day, you got to be connected. And you know when you get more mature, you know what he does? You think you can hear his voice better? No, he speaks more softly. He wants you closer. God is not a man. Repentance from acts that lead to death. Faith towards God. Believing in God. Believing that God will catch you when you step out. Believing when things are screwed up, it's not his fault. Believing that sometimes when things are screwed up, they're really not screwed up. He's carrying you through the water or through the fire. It just feels screwed up because that's what it looks like to you. But when you get on the other side, it wasn't screwed up. Instructions about washings, mikvahs, baptisms, water, and in the Holy Spirit. Both are clearly listed. I don't have time to go into that. Laying on of hands. Laying on of hands is not when you pray for somebody and because they're sick. Laying on of hands is imparting something. A father lays hands on his son and puts a blessing into him. Leadership lays hands on somebody and anoints them for an office or for a calling or to be set aside to do a work of God. Okay? Resurrection from the dead. Believe me, that is coming. It's a foundation. You need to believe these things. Eternal judgment, that is also coming. As we build upon Jesus, the Messiah, as we begin to explore these foundations of our faith, from there, we're going to find some building blocks. And the building block that I will want to address next week is going to be circumstances. Because giving is a heart attitude that comes from God the Father. And as we begin to catch hold of that, it's going to permeate all aspects of our walk with the Lord. It's going to wind up in your wallet. But guess what? It's not your wallet anyway. And if the Jordan River concept and the Sea of Galilee is right, you just go ahead and hold on to all the money that you want. Or you start seeing what happens. If you recognize that God's the one that gave it to you in the first place. Oh, I got $100 bonus. Let's go out to dinner. Well, maybe. But shouldn't you ask Dad first? Why'd you give me this $100 bonus? Well, you have a $100 bill that you didn't know was going to come in tomorrow. Or, maybe more importantly, somebody next to you has one. That's probably only $80.20 is for McDonald's. But you got to ask. You have to be connected. The first one is repentance from dead works. The first one. Children of the King. We have to act like children of the King. Turn to 1 Peter 1. And I don't remember why I picked this scripture, so hopefully it's a good one. Now I remember. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and these counties here, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Giving, he gave. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Giving, God gave. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Giving. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed. I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. By various trials. Why are we still here? Why can't we go to heaven? Does anybody know why we're still here? It's very clear. It's in John 17. Jesus prayed for you and said, Father, I pray not that you take them out of here. Leave them there. Just keep them from the evil one. You're here because you're supposed to be here. And you're going through trials and tests because you're being formed into the image of God. Because he's still giving. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. You are not saved. You are born again. And you are getting saved. And the process is the life experience where you are going to be formed into the image of the living God. And one of the things you're going to learn along the way is how to give. So we'll close there. Lord God, thank you so much for your word, which is consistent and faithful. Thank you for giving us revelation. We pray that you'd help us to remember some of these things, because Brother Jerry's so annoying, he's going to review them next week again. But that'll be okay. Help us, Lord, to be focused and to hear your voice so that we can indeed learn to give as you gave. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, praise God. I want to encourage you be back next week and the following 2 weeks after that. Study the scriptures. Go home. Search the scriptures. And be a Berean, as I encourage you always, to search the scriptures for yourself. It's good teaching. And we need to have our religious traditions shaken up, you know, a lot of times. The things that we just take at face value and say, well, this is what I've always been told. So let's search the scriptures to see what we're being told is true. Amen. Let's stand.